from this day forward. Has everybody enjoyed this? Hopefully it's been a good series for you. And we've been talking about marriage and relationships. And we've talked about kind of the five principles we've been talking about. And that is what? To seek God. And what? To fight fair. To have fun. To stay pure. And never give up. And this week we're going to finish everything with never give up. And I just want to finish this off and start by saying this, that you cannot do any of this unless you decide to. You cannot carry out any of the principles that we've been talking about. And it's no good to talk about this if you don't make a decision to do this. You must decide to seek God first. It's not going to happen automatically. You must decide that we as a couple, we are going to fight fair. You must decide that we are going to have a fun-filled marriage. You must decide that I and we are going to stay pure. You have to have your mind made up. You must decide that you will never give up. Because if you go into marriage with a maybe attitude, let's see how this works. Let me just tell you right now, save yourself the court costs, save yourself the marriage expense, and don't get married. You have to go into marriage with a made-up mind that I will never give up. You have to go into this with a mentality that this is permanent and this is forever. If this is a maybe, if this is, well, we'll see how he works out, see how she works out. Let's see where we're at 2 years from now. And it really says a lot about how our culture and how our world now is looking at marriage. I read recently the other day that there's this idea floating around that maybe we should experiment with short-term marriages, where you sign a one-year contract, they have you for that year, and then at the end of that year, you know, we'll look at it, we'll see, you know, is it working for you, is it working for me, do we want to keep doing this, you know, do we maybe want to go to a three-year deal, you know, with some stipulations involved, and that really says a lot about how we look at marriage, and we're going to talk about this today. And I want to start today by saying this, that there's going to be some heavy topics discussed today. And if we're going to never give up, we have to rely on the grace of God. And I want everybody, no matter who you are today, whether you're single, whether you're married, maybe you're divorced, I want you to embrace grace. I want you to embrace the grace of God. And grace is this, it is divine favor. It's the power that God gives us. It's undeserved to do what he wants us to do. And I don't know about you, but I need a lot of that. And so if you're here today and you're honest enough to say, you know what, I was in a failed marriage and a lot of it had to do with me. We're not here to beat up on you. We're not here to throw any stones at you. My word to you is embrace grace. And the whole theme of this series is what? From this day forward. I can't do anything about what happened in the past. I can't do anything about my past marriage, how I hurt that person. But what I can do is say, from this day forward, I'm going to seek God first. And I'm going to rely upon the grace of God. If you're single today, embrace grace. And say, God, help me become the person I need to be so that I can be a helpful marriage partner. If you're married today, embrace grace and ask God, help me to be a better husband or wife. We all need the grace of God no matter where we're at. And I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He said this, he said, but one thing I do. In other words, one thing I do, and I think what he's saying by this is every day I have to focus on this one thing. And as I forget what lies behind me, and I'm straining forward to see what lies ahead. In other words, he's saying, I'm moving forward. From this day forward, I'm going to be the person that God wants me to be by his grace, by him empowering me, by him moving into my life. And so we're going to start there today, because when we talk about never giving up in marriage, it takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of help from God, because there's going to be times where you're going to want to give up in a lot of different situations. And so you have to ask God, help me to never give up. Give me supernatural love. Give me supernatural favor moving in my life. And so Jesus was asked about marriage in Matthew chapter 19. And the Pharisees came up to him and they tested him by saying, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Now let's just stop there. They lived in a religious culture which was very favored towards men, and a man could literally divorce his wife for any reason. Like, he could come home and the meatloaf wasn't warm enough, and they actually had like a little marriage card and he could pull it out. You know, if the wife got on his nerves a little bit, he might show that card just a little bit. You know, some of you guys wish you had that, didn't you? Wish you had that power. But here's what he was, what they were asking him. They were saying, is that lawful? And a man could send a woman out and they had no rights whatsoever. And any offense, any of the slightest thing that he didn't like, he could send her packing. And so Jesus answered in verse 4, he says, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And I just want to reiterate, if you're here and you're divorced today, I'm not here to beat up on you. Whether, you know, there's certain situations where maybe you were done wrong, or maybe it was the both of you just did a lot of things wrong, or you were the victim, or whatever the circumstance is, from this day forward, we can't do anything about that. But at the same time, I don't apologize for anything that I'm about to say. And when Jesus was asked about this, he made it clear there are certain situations where a divorce is allowable. And although it's allowable, it's never God's ideal. It's never God's best. It was never his idea from the beginning. The only reason he made this available in certain circumstances is because of the hardness of people's heart and because of sin. That being said, when we are brought together in marriage, we are made one flesh. And it's like two people come together and they become one. And so when Jesus was asked about this, he's really, if you want to be honest with it, he said, guys, I don't know if it's completely possible. That, yeah, you can do some legal things. But those of you that have been divorced know what I'm talking about. That person is always a part of your past and somewhat a part of your life. Just because when we make a covenant with somebody in marriage, it's something very intimate. And we just can't hit a delete button and pretend like it all disappears. Now, Danielle, if you hand me that piece of paper, I got a little illustration here today, and it's kind of crude, but before church, I glued these two pieces of paper together, and here I'm going to try to tear them apart. We'll see what happens. It's not entirely possible, is it? Because in many ways, the two pages have become one, and when you leave the marriage covenant, it's not as simple as just going to court and that's that. There's a part of that person that comes with you because it's a very sacred covenant that you are a part of. And so I say that for this, is that it's not a quick, painless process. And those of you that have been through it, I know as hard as it is to think about that, you would agree with me. And I say that because I want those who are single, unless you are completely convinced and you're 100% sold that I'm never going to give up on this person, I'm never going to give up on this marriage, and I know that this is from God, I would advise you not to do it. And it might be hard. It might be hard to tell that person the truth. But the truth will save you a lot of trouble. Because we can't just make these type of covenants and just pretend like it didn't happen. And so I want to talk to you today about the difference between a covenant and a contract. And I really believe that really we've bought into this idea that marriage is just a contract. And I want to tell you, marriage is not a contract, it's a covenant. And there's a difference between the two. And we're going to talk about that today. A covenant is based on mutual commitment. Mutual commitments. When two people come together and they are mutually invested and committed to the relationship. Whereas a contract is this, it's based on mutual distrust. If you have to buy a house, or maybe you have someone come work on your house, and you sign a contract with them, Why are you signing a contract with them? Because you don't trust them. And it's not that you don't trust them personally, it's just we don't trust anybody, right? And so a covenant is all about what can I give, and a contract is all about not trusting somebody. It's about protecting yourself. It's about what can I get if something goes wrong. A covenant surrenders rights and assumes responsibilities. In other words, it's all focused on the other. When we make a covenant, it's not based on me, but it's based on the other person. Whereas a contract protects rights and it shrinks responsibilities. And this is so important for us to realize, because one, a covenant has the other person in mind, and a contract has yourself in mind. A covenant is about protecting the other person. A contract is about protecting your own rear end. And so a contract says this, is what will I get if this person messes me over? What's in it for me? How am I protected? And so a contract mentality, it looks for an out whenever someone doesn't fulfill their end of the deal. And that's how a lot of people go into marriage, thinking that they have obligations towards me. And the first thing I see that doesn't fit those obligations, I have an out. And when you start living in a contract mentality, you move out of mercy and grace, and you look for the best thing that's for you. And as I said, there are certain circumstances where Jesus made it clear that divorce is permissible. And this is really hard to say, and this is really hard to hear. But just because it's permissible doesn't mean it's always the best thing. If we're just looking for the first out that we can get out of this mess, and the first time someone does something that we says, okay, there I have my excuse to get out of this, you're in a contract, not in a covenant. And that is never the way that Jesus intended marriage to be. A contract says that I'm in this as long as you are. Contracts are performance-based. They're based on what people will do for us. And they're about living up to expectations, aren't they? And so someone can opt out of a contract when they think it's no longer fitting for them. Somebody can opt out of a contract the first violation, the first fine print that's violated, they can opt out. And that might be good for a phone carrier. And that might be good for someone working on your house. But that's not what Jesus had in mind with marriage. It's a covenant. And so many people treat marriage like a covenant. And so what is a covenant? And let me stop here first. And I want to ask you a question. And don't answer it loud, because some of you might get it wrong. Is our relationship with God based on a contract or a covenant? It's a covenant. And here's the thing. You need to thank God it's not a contract, because every one of us would be in trouble. If our relationship with God was, okay, sign here and you agree to do this and I agree to do this, it wouldn't last for 24 hours. These people getting baptized today are signing a contract where the first time they step out of bounds, it's all over. That's not a covenant, that's a contract. And there's no hope for any of us. And Jesus said this when he did the first communion with his disciples. He said, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And I just want to step outside of the marriage discussion for a minute and say, thank God that our covenant is based on the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. See, I'm not in a contract today. I'm in a covenant. And that blood covers my sins. That blood covers past sins, present sins, future sins. And here's the mistake a lot of people make. They take that as a license to do whatever they want. When you understand the powerful nature of the covenant we have, the new covenant, it makes you love God more. It makes you want to serve him even in a better fashion. And here's why I'm talking about this today, is I really believe that a lot of us have a contract view of God. That we think that we are so hopeless, we think that we have messed up so bad, and that the standards are so high, and we're so hopeless of ever reaching that point, that we take that same mentality and we apply it to our earthly relationships. And because we think maybe God's given up on us, we find it very easy to give up on other people. Or maybe some other people in your life who should have had a covenant with you, had a contract mentality, and they dropped you very quickly. And so what you've said is, not anymore. I'm going to drop them first. So whenever somebody violates you in any way, you have your opt-out clause of your contract where the friendship ends, the marriage ends, whatever the nature of the relationship may be. And I want to tell you, that is not what God had in mind. A covenant is much deeper and intimate than a contract. You see, our covenant with Jesus is by his blood. And really, when you think about it, I think the same principle carries over into marriage, because we really become one person. Maybe not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, we become one blood. In the Old Testament, when two people would get married, the priest would slice the finger of the husband, and then he would slice the finger of the wife and bring them together, signifying that they were now one blood. They were one person becoming one family. And when they made covenant in the Old Testament, when two people just came together just to make any covenant, they would kill an animal and they would spread its blood on different locations. But the whole point of killing the animal was this: this is what's going to happen to me if I violate this covenant. This is what I'm allowing myself to become if I violate the covenant that I'm making today. And so when you have two people who come together, not in a contract, but in a covenant, it becomes a very powerful force. And so I want to ask you this question. Why is it that so many times we're very open to letting go of our husband and our wife, but you would never ever give up on your drug-addicted brother, your drug-addicted sister, or not necessarily even drugs, just somebody who has a lot of problems? And I know so many people that they would never give up on their own brother or sister. They would pay any amount of money to send them to any rehab, and I'm not disparaging that at all. That's a great thing. But they will give up on their husband or their wife. They will give up on who they become one flesh with. And I think the reason is, it goes back to this covenant versus contract. It's because they don't view them the same way they view their brother. They view their brother as their own blood. But when you get married, they become your own blood. You become one person with one interest. And so I want to tell you today, I want to ask you today, pray that God puts it in your heart to never give up. And I want to say this today. If you're being abused, if you're in a bad situation, I'm not telling you to stay in that situation. God will let you know when you've done everything you can do to save the relationship. And we're not here to beat up on you, you or condemn anybody. But at the same time, we can't just leave these covenants. We can't just leave marriage at the first sign of trouble. We can't just leave at the first turn that goes a negative way. We have to hang in there until God gives us clear direction that we are free to go. And God will put the voices in your life. He will put the people in your life to let you know when that time is. And so we're going to end today with three steps from this day forward to never give up. Number one, we will make the choice to love. We will make the choice to love. Love is a choice. Colossians chapter 3:14 says this, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything in perfect harmony. He says, put love on. Has anybody ever had to put love on that it didn't just put itself on? Just like your clothes, you don't just get up in the morning, your clothes just don't pop on you. You have to put your clothes on. Well, every day you have to put on love. And every day you have to choose to love. Love is a choice. And this is one of the things that we've missed in our culture is this, is that we don't fall in love. If we do, it's not real love. Somewhere along the way, you have to make the choice to love. You have to make the choice that I am going to love this person despite their flaws, despite everything that might be wrong with them. I'm never going to give up. Why? Because I love them. And love is a choice. If love's an emotion, and if you're in a relationship right now and you're thinking about marriage, but it's more emotion-based than it is a choice, you need to think about some things. You know why? Because that emotion's going to come to an end the first time at some point. At some point, the honeymoon's going to be over and real life's going to happen. And you're going to realize that, you know what, this person isn't perfect. This person isn't everything I thought they would be to me. Why? Because they're human. And at that point, that's where you discover real love. Love is a choice. One of the most powerful displays of love that I've seen is my uncle, my dad's brother. His wife had a terrible health incident where she was in the hospital for a year, 365 days straight, or somewhere around there. And the hospital was an hour and a half. And every day he drove there, stayed with her all day, went home, came back. That's love. Love is when that person can't do anything for you. They can't help you in any way, but you choose to be there for them. Why? Because you made a covenant. And sometimes we start asking about, well, what's in this for me? What am I getting out of this? And if that's how you're going into marriage, it's going to be short-lived. You have to ask, what can I give? Just as you must choose to love God. How many knows that God doesn't force us to love him? God doesn't force us to accept him. He gives us free choice. You have the free choice to love, but you must choose. And people say things like, well, I just don't love them anymore. As if some disease just came into their heart and took away their love. No, you chose not to love them anymore. At some point, they crossed a line and you said, I'm not going to love them anymore. Now, I'm not saying what they did was right or wrong. I'm just saying that's the facts. We choose not to love anymore. And we can't depend upon emotions because emotions are fickle. And so we have to choose every day. I'm going to make the choice that even if this person doesn't love me back the way they should, I'm fulfilling my end of the covenant and I'm going to love them. Just as God doesn't give up on us. Has anybody here been able to testify the fact that God did not give up on you? You know why he doesn't give up on you? He made a covenant. And people will do horrible things to God, but he never gives up on them. And if a person walks away from God, he will allow them to do that, but he will always fulfill his end of the covenant. And the same thing is true in marriage. A lot of you have had people walk away from you. And there's nothing you can do about that. Your job is this, to never give up until it's over. And to love them as much as you can until it's absolutely over. Because that's the love of our Father. He never gives up on us. And so from this day forward, we're going to pray, God, give me supernatural love. Give me the ability to love my family and my mate. And so we have to choose love today. In 1 Corinthians, sometime you get a chance, read all of 1 Corinthians 13. But we're just going to read a few scriptures where Paul tells us what love is. He says, love is patient and is kind. In other words, it doesn't kick you out of the house the first mistake you make. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, and it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Let's just stop there for a minute. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. It doesn't say, here's my out. Caught him. Finally, I found the fine print where I can opt out of this. No, it doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and what? Endures all things. And the prayer we have to pray is, God, help me love like Jesus, because he's perfect love. Point number two. From this day forward, we will sow into our relationship. We will sow into our relationship. We will invest into our relationship. Galatians chapter 6 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows into the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And I really want you to pay attention to this. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And this is so true in marriage. A lot of people love to complain about the other person. A lot of people love to complain about what the other person's doing wrong. But the question you have to ask yourself is, how much am I sowing into this relationship? And every act that we do, we sow something into the relationship. If you're arrogant and you're mean and irritable, you're sowing that into your relationship. If you are forgiving, if you speak kind words and you're loving, you're positive and you're uplifting, that's what you're sowing to your relationship. And whatever you sow into your relationship is what you're going to get back. You know, a lot of people wonder why people treat them in a way that's not nice. And a lot of times we have to ask ourselves, what are we sowing into them? Is it because we're getting back what we're giving out? And Paul says this, if we just keep sowing, if we keep doing the right things, if we keep praying, and if we keep sowing positive things into our relationship, if we stay pure, if we fight fair, if we have fun together and we seek God together, we're going to reap a harvest. And if you just keep doing those things, and if you just one day at a time try to move us forward, baby steps at a time, I want to tell you, sooner or later, you're going to reap a harvest in your relationship. And so when two people begin to sow into their relationship, they harvest together. Point number three. We will trust God and never give up. We will trust God and never give up. Because we talked about, you have to embrace grace if you're going to have a successful marriage. You know why? Because you have a lot of problems. Yeah, you. You have a lot of problems. And so you have to trust God. Lord, help me become the person I need to be. Why? Because we cannot do this on our own. You cannot do this in your own strength and your own power. You need the strength of the Holy Spirit moving in your life so that you can be the dad, you can be the husband, you can be the partner that God has called you to be. And all of Christianity today, it's about grace. It's about trusting God to help us to be the person we need to be. And Psalm 127 says this, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor build in vain. In other words, it all goes back to step one, which is what? Seek God. That if you do not seek God in your marriage, and if you do not ask for God's grace in your marriage, you're asking for failure. And so we have to ask God to help us to be the husband and the wife that he has called us to be. You know what that means? That means stop doing things your way. Stop doing things your way. And really what God's looking for is just someone to say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. God, the kids are driving me crazy. Things aren't going well at home. My job is a mess. I can't do this. And when you reach that point where you say, God, it's in your hands, help me. And when two people reach that point where they stop doing things their way and they say, you know what, we're going to never give up because we are going to pray that God helps us to keep this ship afloat. That's when the grace of God kicks in and things can supernaturally start happening that normally wouldn't happen on their own. I wonder if we could close our eyes over this place today. I know this has been about marriage, but I want to bring it full circle because really it's about eternity. And yes, never give up on your husband or your wife, but never give up on God. Never give up on yourself. Why? Because we have a covenant that's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. So yesterday when you sinned, that blood was in heaven in your defense. Once you've applied the blood of Jesus Christ to your life, it is your lawyer, it's your righteousness. And when Satan tries to bring up your past, that covenant says, no, I won't give up on them because I died for them. They've applied the blood. And all God sees is his blood. So whenever we could all stand all over this place, let's close our eyes and keep our eyes closed. And here's what I want us to do today. Before we leave, we're going to baptize some people, but I want you just to believe that God hasn't given up on you. And then from that truth, I want you to never give up on anyone else. Why? Because you're worth it. God says you're worth it today. And I just want to tell you, when we baptize these people today, they're not just getting wet. They're entering a covenant. I have a ring on my finger here today. And this ring signifies a covenant I made with that woman. And the best thing, sure. Our anniversary is Tuesday. We made it 2 years. But here's why I say that. When you get baptized, that's the ring on your finger. Why? Because Romans says that we're buried with Christ in baptism. And the next time Satan tries to confuse you, the next time Satan tries to condemn you, you can say, oh, no. Devil, I got a ring on my finger. I got blood covering my life. The blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I made a covenant. And I might not fulfill the covenant all the time. I might not do my end of the deal every time. But every day, every prayer that I pray, Jesus Christ fulfills his covenant perfectly. And that's the faith I live in today. Amen. So everybody close your eyes right now. If you need to make a covenant with the Lord, now's the time to do that. And if you want to publicly